So we're here together today, and we're here really to invite our hearts to open to the joys and the sorrows, to everything. And I think we like to begin with just taking a few minutes to just settle and arrive. So we'll do about a 10-minute arriving meditation. And for this, as for the whole day really, let there be an emphasis on being here and being comfortable and being at ease. See if you can let go of any sense of needing to get anywhere or do anything a particular way, you know, even come back to your breath or come back to your body. But just see if you maybe begin by just opening to what's present for you right now in the body, and the heart, the mind. If you'd like to let your eyes close, you can do that. Let your attention come inward. Just begin by feeling your body here on the chair or on the cushion. Feel the contact with the surface beneath you. Feel your breath. Feel this life breath connecting you with all of life, with each other, with all of us, with the world. Feel that cool in-breath and a sense maybe of release as you breathe out. If it's helpful, take a few full breaths. This nice deep inhalation and relaxing, releasing, letting go on the out-breath. Just helping you just to settle into being here. You might, as you breathe in, invite in a quality of calm as you breathe in and as you breathe out. Breathing in, calming your body. And breathing out, calming your mind. Perhaps take another full breath or two, and then let your breathing settle. Just let it be natural, settle into its natural rhythm. Feeling the body here, feeling your body here on the chair or cushion. You might just check in, just do a brief scanning of your body and notice if there's any area that you might be holding tension that you could invite to relax, to soften. Notice if there's tightness or tension in the face, or the jaw, or the mouth. Just inviting a relaxing of that area of the body, face, eyes, mouth. And the shoulders, where we often carry tension. Just inviting the shoulders to relax. Imagine anything you might be holding, any tension, just draining down through the body and out into the ground, into the earth. Relaxing the shoulders. Letting the breath come into a relaxed, open belly. And notice if there's any tension or tightness in the belly. Inviting a relaxing of the belly, the chest. Inviting a sense of ease in the body and the mind. Letting yourself be here. You might see how it would be to invite a smile to your face, or a half smile, enough to activate the muscles at the corners of your eyes, the corners of your mouth. Perhaps bringing into your heart and your mind a loved one, or a dear friend, somebody who inspires happiness or joy in you. If you can, just let yourself feel, touch into the feeling of a smile. And you might let the smile be an expression of how you wish to meet today your experience. Everyone here together. Just pay attention for a moment to what's present for you in the body and the heart and your mind. See if you can invite an attitude of welcoming whatever is here, whatever you're experiencing right now. See if you can meet it with kindness, friendliness, care. The great Sufi poet Rumi speaks of welcoming the guests. He says, welcome the guests, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. So see how it would be today and right now to meet whatever is here, if there's some sadness or there's some restlessness or tiredness. See if you can meet this mind state or this emotion with an attitude of welcoming, with an attitude of friendliness. It is one of the central meanings of metta, is friendliness. And inviting this friendliness to our own experience, this body, this heart, this mind, this life. I invite you today to meet whatever is arising without an attitude of resisting or controlling, but more a spirit of kindness and awareness and interest. Now, even if the mind is very busy, active, sometimes we can feel we have to kind of pull it back or rein it in. You might let the emphasis more be on letting there be space, even if there's some busyness of the mind. Just be curious and interested and kind towards that. Perhaps the mind just needs a little bit of time to kind of do a lot of thinking and planning or remembering before it settles, and see if you can let there be space. Let there be space for everything. It's a poem I like very much that, for me, expresses a wise and kind attitude that we can bring to our practice. You know, less of a sense of doing or getting somewhere, and more just opening to whatever's unfolding. This is Martha Postlethwaite's poem, Clearing. She says, "Do not try to save the whole world or do anything grandiose. Instead, create a clearing in the dense forest of your life and wait there patiently until the song that is your life falls into your own cupped hands and you recognize and greet it. Only then will you know how to give yourself to this world so worthy of rescue." The sense of create a clearing in the dense forest of your life and wait there patiently until the song that is your life falls into your own cupped hands and you recognize and greet it. So again, a very warm welcome to you all. Just say a few words about the day. It's pretty simple, really. As in many of these, most of these retreats, you know, there's some sitting, some guided meditations, what we call the heart practices. With the focus today on metta or loving kindness, letting our hearts be open to ourselves and those we're close to and those we're more distant from, and ultimately including everybody, all beings. And as we'll be talking about today, it really is a training of the heart. It's a practice. It's really a cultivation. And I think one thing, if we can kind of enter into this space without expectations, you know, and to meet whatever arises with kindness and care. You know, it's sometimes when we practice loving kindness, what comes up is anger and hatred, you know, or resistance and kind of judgment and all of these things. And so Can it be okay if that's what the practice is today or part of today? Just to meet that with kindness, so that the way I like to think about it is that we're creating a container that can hold all of our experience, that can hold all of the joys and the sorrows. So even though we might come and think, oh, wouldn't it be beautiful to do a nice peaceful day of loving kindness meditation and think that, you know, it's actually going to be like that. Well, maybe it isn't, you know. And yet that's okay too. You know, as somebody once said, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and that's okay. So can it be okay? Just, you know, however it unfolds, you know, as Rumi's poem, The Guest House, says, you know, welcome the guests. It's a real wisdom in that, and yet it's extraordinarily challenging. And I'm kind of getting a little bit into a more of a talk, which I can hold off on. But just to say that we'll be having guided meditations, we'll be doing some walking meditation. It's a beautiful day, and it's a lovely campus. And it was a full moon, a blue moon, not just a full moon, a blue moon last night. Whatever that means to any of us, it feels very auspicious. And we're here together, and just to encourage you to let yourself open and be present, and let your heart open as it is ready to today. We'll be also doing some other practices. We'll be having some talks about the practice, about loving kindness. It's really quite simple, and an invitation to let your heart be as open as it can be and cultivate these practices. And one thing perhaps to say is that these practices really are an art. You know, even though we might use particular phrases or words or encourage or invite certain things, it's really you who are the best judge of what's going to allow your heart to open, what's going to allow you to be present. So really kind of encourage you to touch into your own inner wisdom too, and compassion of what's most needed. You know, it might be that you need a nap at some time. Okay, there's spaces you can do that. So just really invite you to be here and as fully as you can, and a very, very warm welcome to everyone, to all of you. And that'll do for that part, I think.
So the Buddha taught from a boundless heart, and he gave importance to not just the wisdom teachings of the Dharma, but also the importance of the cultivation of heart. And it's often talked about in the discourses as two wings. So there's the wing of wisdom and there's the wing of compassion. And the idea is that the bird can't fly if you're just heavy on one side. And this idea of having a sense of clarity around the teachings that is about liberation, not just feeling good, and also the heart capacity to be able to sit with what's difficult in our lives and what arises and passes away in the course of our practice. So this is very much about a practice instead of an ideal. In the Heart Sutta, the Buddha talks about one should cultivate a boundless mind towards all beings and friendliness towards the entire world, including yourself. And I like to underline that, including yourself. And throughout one's waking life, one should practice this mindfulness, this mindfully. This is said to be the supreme state. So this idea of cultivating this the heart, opening the heart recognizing the power and healing quality of the heart, the permeating, penetrating power of the heart is what we're practicing today. And the Buddha taught about four heart practices: loving kindness or metta, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. All of these supporting the teachings equally. And metta is what our focus is today. The Pali word is metta. The interpretation is often referred to as loving kindness, but the teachings talk about it as friendliness, having a friendliness towards your life. I heard a definition say to grow fat with friendliness. I'm still thinking about that one. It almost hits home a little too closely. But it's the intentional offering of the heart, the goodwill to offer the heart. The heart's natural capacity is to be generous. So it's our conditions that actually interrupt that flow. Maya Angelou talks about love this way. She says, love has no boundaries. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls, and arrives at its destination full of hope. So this radiance of heart, this shining of radiance is really what we're looking at. It's been a big practice of mine over the last 6 months, mainly because there's so much craziness in the world right now. And I'm really struck with my habit of being angry and my heart contracting and me having strong opinions about what's happening. And before I know it, I mean, within an instance, and I know I'm not by myself here, I could be so righteous about what I think should be happening that it actually creates a tight ball. And sometimes we may not be able to notice this happening with our thoughts, but we can feel it in the body. And I can literally feel myself, you know, kind of bracing for war. I'm warring, and I'm warring with one thought against the other on the inside. And so we can have that happening with us before we know it. And the idea of metta is to die without an enemy and to live without one as well. So if you can think about just holding this as a way of being in the world, not just something you do when you sit down on the cushion, but that it actually permeates and you can catch yourself more and more when that is shifting. So I'd like for you to consider metta as a technology. It's kind of like a software that we're popping into the hardware of our conditioning. It's a software that we're popping in. And there's a learning curve, and the learning curve is our practice, our becoming familiar with the habit of welcoming the heart and inviting the heart to open. So considering metta as atmosphere could be one way of considering it an insight practice. Some teachers refer to metta as a concentration practice, as a way of focusing and narrowing our attention so we can stay present. But we could also see metta as the atmosphere that everything is arising and passing away in. So we're cultivating an atmosphere of non-resistance, an atmosphere of kind acceptance. That we're setting the thermostat so that there's a climate control that is in the air when we are noticing what arises and passes away. And we can control that thermostat with our intention of just intending to bring a heart quality to our practice, a habit of saying yes to whatever arises. So we want to pay attention to our mind moods and our attitude when we're sitting, and we want to intentionally allow a bit of warmth. And this is the quality of metta that we're supporting here or encouraging, that supports the heart opening, that supports us in relaxing a little bit more so that we can be present with what arises. So it's a simple practice, but it's not so easy. It's simple because we're working mainly with four phrases. The phrases are, may I be safe, may I be happy, may I be healthy, and may I live with ease. So it's simple. And these phrases are not meant to change a situation, but it's an opportunity for us to bring a quality of warmth and compassion in the midst of what's arising. So may I be safe in the midst of this struggle that I'm going through. May I be kind and at ease with my troubled mind. May I welcome this tension that I'm feeling with ease. May I be with whatever this is in the midst of. May I be with it in metta. May I be with it in non-resistance. So we're not trying to make something go away. We're trying to welcome it with kindness. And it's not easy because when we're doing this practice, we don't always feel loving kindness. It's just not always that sweet for us. I mean, let's keep it real, right? But we don't want it to be like a passive thing, and we don't want to kind of like fake it, like some people say, well, you fake it until you make it or something like that. There's two things that I found really helpful with metta personally in my own practice. And one is before I begin metta, I recall a moment of tenderness and kindness where I felt like my heart was just really pierced. Sometimes I get this when I think about my granddaughter the first time I held her in my arms, and I just felt this this full wash of love that went through my body. You know, we have these moments like that. Sometimes it's somebody that sees us so clearly, you know, we feel this release happen in our heart and mind. Sometimes we can hear a beautiful piece of music and be taught. Even reflecting on these things can bring a certain reminder of our capacity to invoke this for ourselves and to touch into these places that we've felt. So we're not hoping for love or kindness. We're actually plugging into an experience and remembering what that was like. So we're inviting that memory to remind us of the quality of metta. So remembering these moments can be useful when you begin a metta practice. The second thing that I found very useful is that it's not about the phrases. It's not about the phrases of metta, those four phrases. What it's more about is the good intention that you have in offering them. It's the well-wishing that's in the intention that gives birth to the phrases in the first place. So when you can plug into why you're doing metta and remember that it's really a love offering that you're giving yourself or someone else, or a friendliness offering to yourself or someone else, that it's not about the phrases, it's the energetic that propels the phrase. And to keep that in mind, that it's my intention, it's my heart's intention to offer this. So I try to remember the good intention, the inclination of heart that got me into the posture to actually do the metta practice. And then I also try to remember that after you say the phrases in your mind, there's a space that's after the phrases. There's a space that opens up. And to begin to recognize and rest in that space. So there's a phrase, may I be at ease. And then there's the silence. And there's the pause there. And I'm inviting you to really enjoy that space before you say the next phrase. To really know that space, to relax into that space, and to know that that's like a vibratory aftermath of the phrase itself that we can learn to rest in. So there's the phrases like the words on a piece of paper, and then that space afterwards is like the white on a piece of printed paper. So we're becoming acquainted with the space itself, not just the phrase that's on the paper. And I find that very helpful in the metta practice, so that I'm not so fixated on the phrases, but I'm opening my experience in the practice. That opening is an opening of heart, that we can learn to allow, take our time, rest in it, and give ourselves the full experience of the practice, not just the phrases. And to really appreciate the offer, the act, just the beauty of you taking this on as a practice. It's a beautiful, beautiful practice for you. And the last thing that I'll say is that metta is homeopathic. A little is a lot. It doesn't always feel like you're doing a lot, but it's like composting. You know, you put all the stuff in a heap, and after a while you've got this rich soil that you can then put on your plants and do all these things. So there's a momentum to the practice that's awfully beautiful and purifying. We cultivate an open field of kindness. And in this openness, we get to notice more readily when we grip ourselves and when we're released. When love is flowing, or when the plumbing system is backed up. We actually get to see when we're open or closed, when we're in this open field of metta. So I encourage you today, in our practice of opening our hearts, to really have the experience be wide open in the practice itself. Not just focus on the phrases, but also the spaces before and after. And to the degree possible, to enjoy the practice for today. Thank you.
A moment to check in right now how things are, connecting again with this life, this breath, this body, this heart. The story of the origin of the metta practice, or the loving kindness practice, or this friendliness practice was a story of a group of monks who went into the forest to do the rains retreat. And when they went there, they sat down to meditate, and all the spirits of the forest were annoyed and angry that they were there in the forest. And they emitted, as the story goes, odious odors and loud noises. And scared the monks and who went back to the Buddha and said, who are, and they asked the Buddha, please give us another place to meditate. This is horrible. These are, you know, horrible smells and sounds, and how can we meditate? And the Buddha said, no, I'm not going to give you another place to meditate, but I'll give you a practice to help you meditate, to help you cultivate love and friendliness. And that's the metta practice, the practice of loving kindness. So establish a comfortable and relaxed posture. Let yourself settle into being here. You like to take a deeper breath or two. Let your attention come into the body, come into the heart area. Feel this life. Just notice what's present for you right now. See if you can hold it in a spirit of kindness and friendliness. Just allowing this moment to be as it is. Traditionally, in the metta practice, we begin with ourselves. It's important that we do because it's very difficult to genuinely open our hearts to others, to their suffering, to their joys, if we are closed towards ourselves, or if we're judgmental or angry with ourselves. And for many of us, cultivating friendliness and kindness towards ourselves can be the most challenging part of this practice. Many of us have grown up with voices in our heads, maybe coming from well-meaning loved ones, that somehow suggest that we're not good enough. We're not quite what we should be or could be. We've perhaps internalized these voices. Perhaps we've reached some of our own conclusions that, you know, we're not worthy of love and care. Sometimes we can close down to ourselves and judge ourselves, be harsh and critical, even if we might be loving and kind and friendly towards others. But there's always going to be some dislocation, some disjuncture if our hearts are closed to ourselves. So the invitation is to meet this life, this breath, this body, this heart, with kindness, with friendliness. It can be helpful to begin with a reflection on gratitude, some things in your life that you feel grateful for. Perhaps people, loved ones, perhaps good fortune in terms of finances, health, relationship, work. You might just reflect on one or two things about yourself that you're grateful for. Grateful for this body and heart that have carried you through this life. Your mind that tried to take care of you and keep you safe and well. If it's hard to feel care or friendliness towards yourself, you might imagine that you're looking at yourself through the eyes of a loved one, somebody who does see your inner beauty, your goodness, your Buddha nature. Imagine you're looking at yourself through the eyes of a loved one, partner, a parent, a child, a friend, a pet. Seeing the efforts that you've made to take care of yourself, take care of others. And just breathe into whatever's present for you right now. It can be helpful to put your hand on your heart, or on your belly, connecting with this life, with this heart. If judgment or criticism comes up, you might just recognize that even where you've made mistakes or done things that you've regretted, that you've done this in order to try to be happy, and sometimes made mistakes, made choices that weren't for the best. Just to meet that, whatever may be coming up, in the spirit of kindness and friendliness, just caring for this life. Something that's been attributed to the Buddha is you could travel all around the universe, all around the world, and not find another being more deserving of love and friendliness as yourself. So if you can, just taking in that you, as much as anyone, deserves to be happy and safe and well. And in this practice, as I said, traditionally, we begin with ourselves and move out towards a loved one or a benefactor, then outward to include other friends, neutral people, people we don't know, outward to include more difficult people, and ultimately all beings everywhere, human and non-human, letting our hearts be open to all of life. But it's a practice, it's a cultivation, it's a training. What's often called our survival brain, the kind of the fight or flight mode, will often kick in, and we'll get into situations where we're closed and we're fearful or we're angry. And when we get into these states and we get kind of locked in them, then there's a separation from ourselves and from others and from the world. And it's a natural kind of evolutionary state that is very protective of us, but can also get us into trouble, can also close us down. So what the Buddha understood 2,500 years ago is that we can train our hearts, that we can train our minds, that we're not kind of locked into purely repeating habits and patterns, that we can transform them. We can transform our minds and our hearts through how we use our attention and how we cultivate states of heart and mind. And the Buddha gave two central practices for waking up. He said, abandon what is unskillful. So abandon greed and hatred and anger and resentment and judgment and delusion. Abandon the unskillful, he said. You can do this. If it weren't possible to do this, I wouldn't ask you to do it. If it led to harm and suffering, I wouldn't ask you to do it. But because it leads to happiness and to well-being, I say to you, abandon the unskillful. And the Buddha said too, the second practice, he said, cultivate the good. This is cultivate kindness and friendliness and gratitude, generosity, compassion, forgiveness. All of these beautiful qualities of heart and mind that ennoble us, that help us to be fully who we are, help us connect with others and with all of life. He said, cultivate the good. You can do this. If it weren't possible to cultivate the good, I wouldn't ask you to do it. But because it's possible, because it leads to happiness and to well-being, I say, cultivate the good. So in our practice, we're abandoning the unskillful by just noticing when unskillful, unhelpful states of heart and mind arise. When we do get caught up in craving or in harsh judgment or anger, that we can bring awareness to those states and without judgment, just watch open fully to our experience and see how they just come and go. That if we don't cling to them, we don't identify with them, then they don't hook onto us in that same way. They can come and they can pass. And the other practice really involves a conscious inclining of our minds. The Buddha said, what you frequently think about and ponder on, this becomes the inclination of your mind. So if we think angry, greedy, fearful thoughts, kind of keep staying in that loop, then that becomes the inclination of our minds. But if we cultivate compassion and kindness, friendliness, generosity, consciously cultivating these states of mind, then this becomes our default, where our mind naturally inclines. And this is the practice that we're doing, this cultivation of the heart and the mind, inclining our mind towards friendliness, towards ourselves, towards others, towards all beings everywhere, all of life, to the earth, all of the beings, all of life, on the earth and in the universe. So this cultivation, and so when we cultivate, there are different ways, different skillful means of cultivating the heart, cultivating the good. And three kind of modalities can be useful. Ruth talked about the phrases that we'll use, some version of these four phrases, safety, happiness, health, and well-being. And that kind of touches us into the cognitive mode, you know, the mode of more of understanding and thinking and reasoning. But as well as that, we can also visualize. We can bring images into our minds and hearts. And it could be an image of a loved one or ourselves as a child or a baby or people who are suffering. And we can let the visualization help connect us with this intention of friendliness towards ourselves and others. So that's the second mode, the cognitive, the words, the visualization, the images. And the third is the feeling, the sensory, the experiential, the feelings in the body, in the body, in the heart. Being able to connect with the feelings on that level. So you might see, use these different ways of deepening and cultivating friendliness and loving kindness to self and others. So I'll share some phrases and just see how they resonate for you, and if you find other phrases that speak to you, that touch you more closely, please feel free to substitute them and use them. If it feels more helpful, just to stay with one phrase. Or just to stay, you know, with yourself while we might move on to, you know, a loved one, a beneficiary. You decide what's most useful, what helps you to open your heart. So just connecting with your body and perhaps breathing, connecting with your breathing and breathing into the area of your heart. Just sending these intentions, these wishes of loving kindness to yourself. May I be safe and free from harm. May I be safe and free from harm. You probably know that when we're not feeling safe, then we close down, we shut down, we kind of get into tunnel vision. And it's very, very difficult for the heart to be open in connection with ourselves and others. So if we can begin with wishing for that state or condition of being safe, free from harm, perhaps feeling yourself here in this beautiful space with others, like-minded beings, just all committed to waking up, to finding greater ease and well-being. Sending that wish, that intention. May I be safe and free from harm. Just say it silently, if you like saying that phrase to yourself. May I be happy. May I be happy. And just breathing in. Wish for yourself to be happy. As the Dalai Lama often says, everyone wants to be happy. We all share this wish for happiness. Even if sometimes we go about it in ways that don't lead to genuine happiness, to real happiness, that is our deepest wish. So wishing that for yourself, intending, may I be happy. May I be healthy and well. It's wishing for yourself a measure of good health, physical and mental, emotional, spiritual health. May I be healthy and well. And the fourth phrase, may I live with ease. May I live with ease. All of us are familiar, I think, with how it feels to live with worry and anxiety and stress, at least at times, and how it feels when that kind of clinging falls away, that kind of holding falls away. We can live with ease, even if it's for a time, just wishing for yourself, may I live with ease. And as you silently repeat these phrases, these words, just connect with how you're feeling in the body and the heart and the mind. And open to whatever is present with kindness, with friendliness, with care. May I be safe and free from harm. May I be happy. May I be healthy and well. May I live with ease. May I live with ease. And whatever is arising, see if you can meet it in this field of kindness and friendliness. You might imagine this friendliness as being large enough to hold everything that arises. Fear comes up, or anger, or judgment, or disconnection, or doubt. Just let it be held in this field of loving kindness, field of friendliness. See if you can allow everything to be held within this field, this intention of friendliness, so that nothing can be wrong. It's simply how your experience is unfolding in this moment. Just to invite a holding of everything that is arising within, with an attitude of acceptance and of kindness and friendliness. This practice is often compared to planting seeds. You know, what we're doing now is we're planting the seeds. These seeds, these intentions, these wishes of kindness and friendliness to ourselves and to outward to others. And they'll bloom, they'll blossom when they're ready and in their own time, not in the time that our mind might choose for them. We might wish, I want to feel happy and loving right now. Perhaps that's not where things are at this moment, but you can plant the seeds. May I be safe, free from harm. May I be happy. May I be healthy and well. May I live with ease. And in this spirit, and in the same way as you send these wishes of kindness and friendliness to yourself, you might bring to mind a loved one, a dear friend, or a benefactor, somebody who has really cared about you, or loved you, or loves you. Somebody who it's easy to wish well. You can just let that, perhaps an image of this person, this friend, this loved one, benefactor, come into your heart and mind, and reflecting on their wish to be happy and safe, healthy and free from harm. Let these wishes and intentions go to this being, this person or being. It might be a beloved pet. It might be somebody who has passed on. And just, if that's the case, just kind of adapting the phrases or thinking about them in a slightly different way, but wishing for their well-being. May you be safe and free from harm. Just breathing into that wish, may you be safe, free from harm. May you be happy. May you be truly happy. You might imagine yourself sitting close to this person, this being, and just wishing them sending these wishes of friendliness and kindness to them. May you be healthy and well. May you live with ease. May you live with ease. You might remember the smile or the half-smile, and that can invite a softening of the nervous system, a shift into the more receptive mode. Holding this dear being in your heart, just letting the wishes of kindness, loving kindness, friendliness, connection, care, go out to this being, this person. May you be safe and free from harm. May you be happy. May you be healthy and well. May you live with ease. So in these remaining few minutes of the sitting, just continuing in a way that feels right for you, sending these wishes to the beloved loved one. Including yourself in your wishes. This is Wendell Berry's Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water and feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Reconnecting with the room and opening your eyes and connecting.